Father, as we enter your presence tonight, we're so thankful to be gathered here tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful for each and every one that is present tonight, Lord, in your midst, that, Father, they have the inner ears to hear tonight what the Spirit would say to them. Father, I thank you that we have our hearts, minds, souls, and spirit totally focused upon Jesus. Father, just lead us and guide us tonight. May the anointing flow through Gary in a mighty way tonight, Father, to speak the words, Lord, that you would have us to hear tonight, Lord, that we would take them and grow, and there'd be revelation not only in our spirit, but in our minds to the understanding that we know what you want for each and every one of our lives tonight. Father, we thank you so much for being able to enter in your presence tonight. Now, Lord, this is your service, and have your way in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. All together, amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, I've really been looking forward to tonight, because Gerald and I had lunch Tuesday, and I knew what tonight's subject is. If you look, you know, just take it in sequence in your workbook. It's the, you know, where Jesus said in Matthew 6, let me get the actual verse here. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, where he says, he's concluding the Lord's Prayer, and he's talking to the Father, and he says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Okay? And those verses, I mean, those words, I mean, they make sense to us. We know it's God's kingdom. We know it's God's power. We know it's God's glory. But yet, there, you know, when Jesus says something like that, and at the conclusion of probably the most important prayer ever uttered on earth, there's got to be a lot more to it than that. So, Gerald and I was, and I knew what it was because the Lord showed me years ago in a vision. But I was going, how in the world am I going to convey, you know, y'all haven't had the same vision that I had. And sometimes, you know, a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, do y'all want me, you know, if it takes a thousand words, we're going to be here a while, you know. And I was going, Lord, I was going, Lord, how am I going to convey to the people really what you're talking about there? Because they all know it's your, I mean, you know, how many of y'all in here know you're not God? Amen. Okay. How many of you are glad for that?
Amen.
Especially, how many are glad that Gerald's not God?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, forever. Hallelujah. I mean, if nothing else, the rest of your life, you've got something every day to thank God for. Hallelujah. He does have a nice shirt. Hallelujah.
What about food? I thank God she's my God.
Yeah, and I'm smart because I let him say it, not me. Hallelujah. 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 Well, anyway, Gerald and I had lunch Tuesday, and we was talking about this, and I was asking the Lord, you know, how to do this. And on the way home from lunch, how many of y'all believe in your car, on the way home from Jesse's restaurant on the east side of town, God will get in the car with you and show you a vision? Hallelujah. And this one's different than the one I had before. So much of, you know, the thing about daily life, it's so daily. Have you, you know what I mean by that? Every day, you got to go to work. If you got little babies, you got to change the diapers. If you got bills to pay, you got bills to pay. If you go to work, you got problems at work. You know, we get so caught up with the day in, day out, day in, day out. When people start talking to you like, "Well, you're a child of the Most High God," and did you know God walks around in you? And you're going, "Yeah, but right now I'm doing laundry." You know, you know, or I'm changing the oil. Leave me alone. You know, that type of thing. But really, what this passage has to do with there has to do really with our role in the kingdom and how we perceive that. Okay? So I was driving home. And I was going, "Lord, how do I explain this to him?" Okay, now, here we go. You ready?
Ready.
Hang on tight. Here we go. Now, you're going to like this. What if? Now, he said to me, he said, "It's not exactly like this, but for teaching purposes, tell him like this. Now, let's just take, for example, what if in order to get born again, you had to really die, physically die, okay? So let's say that old Brandon here, I'll just, can I use you, Brandon? let's say Brandon, he comes in and he says, "Well, I want to get saved." We'll say, "Well, fine. Here, you know." He says, "Well, what do I do?" First off, you confess you're a sinner. Okay, I know that. You ask the Lord to forgive you. Okay, I'll do that. You ask Jesus to come into your heart and make you new. Okay, Jesus, come into my heart and make me new. He said, "Do you believe God raised Jesus from the dead?" "Yes, I do." "Do you confess Him as Lord?" "Yes, I do." Thud. Right there, as soon as he did that, he fell dead on the floor. Okay, now this is just for teaching purposes. Now, let's say that when he comes to, the instant later, you know, after he fell on the floor, when he comes to, he's standing before the throne of God. And there's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going, "Brandon, you made it, son. You're here. This is heaven. You really made it." And Brandon's going, "Cool." You know? And he's looking around. Right over there's God the Father. Okay? The throne of God the Father. And Jesus says, "Come on, I want you to meet your Father God." He takes Brandon over there and he introduces him to the Father God. And, uh-oh. Got an unhappy face there. For benefit of the tape, that's granddaughter Lindsay again. Anyway, he takes you over to the Father God and introduces you to Him. And you start seeing the glories of heaven. And you're looking around, you know. And, and it's starting to dawn on you. Jesus is He's hugging you and patting you on the back and taking you around and saying, "I'm so glad you received me. I'm so glad that you didn't have to go to hell." And Brandon's going, me too, you know. And he's looking around and the streets are made out of gold, diamond doorknobs, jasper walls everywhere you look. And the Lord Jesus says, "Well, I'll tell you what, would you like a little tour of heaven?" Brandon says, "Sure." He says, "Gabriel, come over here for a minute and give Brandon a little tour around heaven here." Brandon says, "Cool." Okay, so here they go, and they're going around heaven. And the angel says, "Well, would you like to meet King David of old?" "King David? Yeah, I'd like to meet King David. He's the one that slew 10,000 men and everything, you know, yeah." So he takes you over and he introduces you to King David, and you get to talk with him for a while. And the angel says, "Well, what about Samson? You know? He's the one that slew all of those guys with the jawbone of an ass and carried the gates of the city off out into the wilderness." And yeah, I'd like to meet Samson. You know, so you go meet Samson, Moses, the Apostle Paul, all these people that you've heard about your whole life, you know. And you notice as you're going around, I mean, this place is full of mansions. Everywhere you look are the prettiest, biggest, nicest mansions you've ever seen. And you come by one that just really grabs you. You say, "Boy, that is the prettiest place I have ever seen in my life." And the angel says, "Well, I'm glad you like it because that one's yours." "Really?" The angel says, "Well, yeah, would you like to come in and take a look?" "Well, sure." So you get up and you go in there and you start. For Brandon, it's everything Brandon ever wanted. Now, Dr. George in that same house might have went, "Pew." But to Brandon, it's everything Brandon has ever wanted. It's all of his heart's desires. Everything he sees is perfect. Just exactly what he's always wanted, you know. So you get to spend some time going around heaven and everything. And finally, the angel, he brings you back to Jesus. And by this time, it's starting to dawn on you, even Brandon. It's really starting to dawn on him. "I made it. I'm really here. I'm here. I'm in the kingdom. This is forever. I made it." And it starts really dawning on you, see. And you're standing in front of Jesus and you start saying, "This is wonderful. I'll never have to worry again. I'm here. This is forever. I already made it, didn't I, Jesus?" "Yeah, Brandon, you really did. You really did." Okay, now he says, "Now, you got to understand, Brandon, for eternity, you and I are always going to be together." And he says, "I'm the king of the kingdom. The Father owns the kingdom, but I'm Lord of it. He's made me Lord of it. And you and I are always going to work together." He says, "Now, let me give you at least three assignments that you'll know about." He says, "Well, let me tell you about the second one first." He says, "There's coming a 1,000-year reign on earth where I'm going to come back to earth and literally take up a throne in Jerusalem. And you are going to rule and reign with me on the earth for 1,000 years. Brandon goes, "Cool." Okay. He says, "After that, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And there'll be assignments there. And this will go on forever." And the more Jesus talks, the more Brandon understands, "I made it. I made it." I really did. He says, now, he says, I have one assignment, though, for you right now. He says, and at that moment, I saw this too, at that moment, Jesus, he reaches over to a curtain and he pulls it back, and what you see is the globe of the earth as if you're looking at it from outer space. Then it's like the camera zooms in and you start seeing the cities, the inner cities of the earth. And the camera kind of pans around the earth and you start seeing the crime and the filth and the starving children and all of the lost humanity on earth right now without God. Jesus says, I do have one assignment for you right now, Brandon. What's that, Lord? He says, well, now, you're absolutely convinced that you made it, right? Yes, sir. He says, well, I need you for a while. What I want you to do, I want to go back with you. I want to give you a fleshly body again. And I want you to go back to the earth for a few years.
Oh.
And I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with you in that body. And my anointing is going to go with you. Because all this harm and all this pain and all these lost people, it's not the Father's will that all these people be lost. It's not the Father's will that all these people die of sicknesses that the devil's putting on them. It's not the Father's will that they all die poor and broke. He says, but I will make you a deal. What's that? He says, now, when you go back, and I go back with you, my Holy Spirit's going to go with you. And He is going to lead you every moment of every day. You'll never have to wonder or guess what my will is for you. All you have to do is follow the Holy Spirit, and He'll take you everywhere that you need to go and explain to you everything you need to do. Not only that. Now, you're going from here to earth as heaven's ambassador. So, from this moment on, heaven is going to take full responsibility for all of your needs. You'll never have to take thought for what you're going to eat. You'll never have to take thought for what you're going to drink. You'll never have to worry one day about where you're going to live. Because my Father will provide all of your needs according to His riches and glory by the anointing that's on me. So when you go back, I don't want you to even be thinking about what am I going to eat? Where am I going to live? Career, that type of thing. No. Just follow the Holy Spirit, and He'll take care of all that stuff. You don't have to worry about any of that because you're an ambassador from heaven now.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, you got it? Y'all getting the picture? Now, do y'all know in the spirit realm it's really that way? It's that way now. Now, you didn't literally have to die physically, but the Bible says that when you were baptized into Christ, you died in Him. Remember, I've taught you before. You died to the species of Adam, and you were born again, raised from the dead, into the new species from the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, heal them both, Jesus. And really, right now, every one of us here, why are we still on the earth? Why didn't God just take us to heaven when you got saved? He needs you. He needs your body. The Lord Jesus came to live inside of even Daryl's body. And I know that's hard for you guys to believe that. But everywhere Daryl goes, Jesus goes.
Amen.
Everywhere Daryl goes, the anointing of God is right there.
Amen.
Why? To do the same thing Jesus has always done. To set the captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, that the lame would walk and the deaf would hear, and that the poor man could be made wealthy, that the brokenhearted could be healed. He's still doing the same thing. He just wants to do it in Daryl and in Tammy and in Randy and even in Pat. Hallelujah. But now what you got to understand, see, in Matthew chapter 6, we read that verse where He says, Father, Thine is the kingdom. Whose kingdom is this? Everyone say, it's the Father's, isn't that right? It's His kingdom. Everyone say that. It's His kingdom, so it's His power, and it's His glory. Okay? He takes responsibility for you. When the United States sends an ambassador to India, we don't tell that ambassador, or to any other country, we don't tell that ambassador, get a job, take care of yourself. Now, he's got a job. What is his job? He's the ambassador. That's what he does. Now, the only difference between that situation and ours, when the Lord, again, going back to that scenario as if he was going to send you back on assignment from heaven, he says, now, and let's say Brandon, the same day that Brandon got saved, there was maybe 100 got saved. And so the Lord's giving them all their assignments now. And he's saying, all right, now some of you, he says, I'm going to send you back into the world, but you're never going to be of the world again. Your citizenship now is in heaven. Okay? And it's heaven's responsibility to provide for you. But now some of you, I'm going to call you to go into the world because that's where the people are. And I need you to go get them. He says, some of you, you're going to be mechanics. Some of you, you're going to be doctors. Some of you, you're going to be engineers. Some of you are going to be housewives and raise up godly seed because we're going to need some more people in this kingdom. You see what I'm saying? All right. He says, you're going into the world, but you're not of the world anymore. Now, Pastor Dave puts it like this, and I can't improve on it. The priority, really, for a born-again child of God is this. Our first call in the kingdom, what God and sons is all about, is soul winning. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, does that mean God calls every one of you to go knocking on doors? No, not necessarily. Does it mean He calls every one of you to go up and down the street passing out tracts? No, not necessarily. What He really called us to do is be witnesses, not go witness. You understand what I'm saying? But now, what it also means, though, every time that the opportunity presents itself, you're ready, in season and out, to tell what great things the Lord has done for you. So you're ready. That's number one above all else. It'd be better for someone to not get their healing, yet get saved and go to heaven rather than hell, right? So number one comes soul winning. I mean, number one. We had a situation a couple of nights ago, a Tuesday night, where I went to a prayer meeting, come in from that, and somebody brought a fellow over who's lost but interested, witnessed to him till about midnight. Okay? That's number one. I mean, all other plans go on hold. Everything else goes second. I mean, the good shepherd, he leaves the 99 and goes after the one that's lost, see? So our first call is what? Soul winning. Your second priority in life is your vocation in the kingdom. Now, what I mean by that is, what is it exactly that God's called you to do? Y'all pretty sure He's called me to do Thursday night Bible study at least right now? I think so. I'm pretty sure of that. I didn't know that when I started all that praying in the Holy Ghost. But after a while, He started getting across to me. That's what I want you to do. Now, He may not want me to do this forever, but that's what I'm called to do right now. Every person in here has got a calling from the Lord Jesus Christ. 90% or better of all the Christians on earth don't have a clue what that calling is. Most of them don't know. What am I? Prophet? Evangelist? Pastor? Teacher? Ministry of helps? Simplicity of giving? Governments? In simpler terms, does God call me to preach or just help people? Maybe God wants you to be sowing for the poor. Sowing, S-E-W-I-N-G. Maybe He wants you going garage sailing. See, Sue has found a niche. I mean, it's at least part of her call, I know, because it's what gratifies. See, when you start finding your call, when you do it, that's when you're most alive. I mean, that's when you just, yes, you know. Like, when I'm doing what I'm doing right now, I'd rather do this than eat. I mean, it's what I love to do, you know. I mean, it's what I love to do. Sue loves giving. I mean, that woman loves to give. So one of the things she's doing right now, she goes garage sailing, as you all know, and she finds clothes, jeans, doesn't, you know, whatever sizes. If they're in good shape, she gets them. Because we're always finding people that need them. And oh boy, does that bless her, you know. But the second priority is to find out your vocation in the kingdom. Now, some things you just already know. If you're a parent, what's part of your vocation, Angie? Well, regarding Lindsay.
Oh, raising her up.
Raising her up.
Teaching her.
Keeping your home sanctified. Not letting a lot of smut and stuff in there. Okay? You know, stuff like that. A doctor. What's a part of a doctor's calling would be to stay abreast of a current on what's going on in the medical field. so that he can not only be a competent doctor, but also every opportunity you witness for Christ. And there's a lot of doors there. Every person in here has certain things to do, though, in the kingdom. My number one suggestion, though, is to pray a lot in the Holy Ghost, because he's really the one that knows precisely what your call was before the foundation of the world. He knows exactly what your call is. I don't. And you're not going to find a chapter, you know, the book of Brandon, chapter 1, verse 4, that says Brandon is a prophet or whatever. Okay? Yeah. Angie says, I wish. But who does know Brandon? The Holy Ghost. He's the one that knows. And all that praying in tongues, he starts unveiling to you exactly what it is that you should be doing. Okay? Now, not only does God say he'll provide your material needs, like a house. You know, Matthew 6, that's really what he's talking about. He says, don't be like the Gentiles. The Gentiles have no revelation. See, without that visitation of Brandon to God, where he knows, he made it. That question's over, isn't it, Brandon? I get to be with the Lord forever. This tiny little time that I'm on this earth is going to be like a speck of nothing compared to eternity, see? Okay? So Brandon now has he sees beyond the end of his own lifetime.
He sees his eternal life has already begun.
That's the key. He sees his eternal life has already begun. And every one of you in here, your eternal life with Jesus began the day you invited him into your heart. You're already never going to die. Is that cool or what? I've got scriptures for all this, but Major cools, who says? All right. But see, Gentiles, unbelievers, are not like that. All they know is from the birth to the grave. So all of their life is concerned with what are we going to eat, what are we going to wear, what are we going to drink, where are we going to live, material, normal, everyday things. Okay? Because they have no understanding and no revelation of eternal life beyond the end of the grave, see? And what God's trying to get us to see, we're in a kingdom that's going to last forever. All of us, every person in here is really just on assignment. And this is the shortest part of our eternal life. I mean, some of you are, I'm 50, roughly, and Angie's half that age, you know, and to her it might seem a long time to the end of her life. Compared to eternity, though, how long is it? Like a speck of dust. It's nothing. It's nothing at all, see? So when Brandon comes back and he's got eternity in mind, it changes every decision. All of a sudden now he says, I'm an ambassador. I don't even have to worry about what kind of job I get. The job I need to get is the one the Holy Ghost says get. Because wherever the Holy Ghost leads, that's where my assignment is. You got that? I got some more news for you. Where that assignment is where your prosperity is too. He might tell you to quit all those kind of jobs, like he did me. And it wasn't until I did that and started doing this that I ever found real prosperity. You know what I'm saying? We've had it better off in the last year than probably most of those years that I worked out in the world. Well, I wasn't doing what he wanted me to do. I wasn't in my call, see? You understand what I'm saying? You with me so far? Now, he says, not only will I provide your house, I'll provide your clothes. House. Did you get that part? And I didn't design this for your situation. I didn't design it at all. This is what the Holy Ghost told me. He said, not only will I provide your house, I'll provide your food, I'll provide your clothes and your water. He says, guess what else? I'll keep your body healed.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Yeah, he said, if you can believe it, I'll keep your body healed. You know, isn't that something? You know, and he says, my Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. You'll never be alone. And my anointing will be with you all the time. Anytime you need it, call on me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed.
That's right.
Isn't that good?
That's good.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think now I can do the handouts. I didn't want you all looking down at these. Just take one. Here, yeah, let me get about it. These are already collated, by the way. So take some of those. Take a set. Take a set of these. Shirley did this for me, for you guys. Okay. Can you see how that kind of thinking would affect every decision that you make? That's right. Hallelujah. Were these instructions too hard?
It was for this group over here.
Shirley, we tried, didn't we? It's 3 pages tonight. Get 3 pages. Yep, that's it. We got it. Okay. Huh? Oh, you do too? Okay. Hallelujah. Yeah, buy them books, you send them to school. What do they do? Eat the backs of them. Taking them apart. Oh, okay. I got to define collated. That's what it is. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's the scary part. Look what he's got to deal with. You know, it's a good thing he's God, not us.
Boy,
yeah, amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, we're not going to read all of this tonight. That's right. It's yeah. It ends up with, it's your glory. Can you see why? Hallelujah. We're just basically good donkey. You know, we want to be good donkey workers. You know, we want to, you know, yeah, hee-haw. I'll go along with that. Just let him ride us in anywhere he wants to go. Okay, the first lesson page, be kingdom-minded. And we're not. Well, I'm just going to hit some highlights on this. Now, y'all got to remember, every week when I give you the lesson page, that's just a summary of the tape. I mean, I'm determined to keep it to just one page. So, it's for your quick reference. You know, like if the devil puts you in some kind of a war, and you're going, I know that Gary taught on that, you can turn quickly in your ring binder to that page. But now, if you need more information, that's why we have down at the bottom where the tape is. Now, in this particular week, the tape name and the handout is the same, but it's not always that way. But see, like on here, I don't even have that whole bit about taking Brandon to heaven. Do y'all think that's important? Yeah. Okay. So you might need to listen to that tape until you start getting that vision yourself. Okay, listen to it 2 or 3 times or however long it takes. Do you start understanding, Sandra? That's really what's going on. Sandra, God will pay your bills. Okay. Heal your body. Do whatever is necessary because you are an ambassadoress. I guess that's what you'd say. Ambassadoress for the kingdom. You see?
A female ambassador.
A female ambassador. How's that? Thank you. Hallelujah. Female ambassador. Boy, it's a rowdy bunch. Okay.
She's bachelor number 3.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, I want you all to quote a few of these with me. You see these bold letters, if you're born again? Say that with me. If you
are born again,
your eternal life with God,
has already begun.
You made it.
You're in the kingdom.
Now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then I put these verses. I pray in the Holy Ghost when I'm doing this. And whatever the Holy Spirit brings up, that's what I put down. And this was the verse that came. John 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, everyone that believes in him, raise your hand. I know they do. They're just not listening. Everyone that believes in him, raise your hand. Okay. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And that is the question, see. Do you believe this? I know you believe it, but I'm asking you, do you believe it, Brandon, to the point that if God says, if the Holy Ghost comes to you and says, your next assignment is in Omaha. Be there Tuesday. Now, see, there's a man that believes it. There's a man that believes it. See? And now, since Tammy loves me so much, you know, when you're considering something like, should we move to Van Buren? You know, you don't just say, we're moving to Van, you know, I mean, you can. But if you're an ambassador, you're going to check with the Holy Spirit. Should we move to Van Buren? And pray about it until you know. You see? That's the thing. Dr. George is going through that right now. He's wondering where to set up his practice. maybe a change involved. And you're in the process right now of praying and letting that roll over to find out for sure what the leadership of the Spirit is, because He wants to be where God wants Him to be, don't we all? And that, so that applies to your home. That applies to your occupation. That applies to what city you're going to live in. That applies to everything. I like what, again, what Gerald said the night he gave his testimony. He says, I start in the morning when I get up acknowledging Him. Lord, I'm up again, you know. And then all day long, every decision, everything, it's a fellowship all day long. Checking with the Lord, should I do this, should I do that? And at first it seems pretty awkward, doesn't it? But after a while it gets easier and easier. Now there's times I just know real plain what He wants me to do, and there's other times I have to mull it over, sometimes for days and sometimes for weeks, before I really get His mind on something. But the number one thing is to know for sure that's what He wants you to do. Okay? With me so far? Now, let me see. Let me skip down through some of this. Okay, about halfway down the page, I put this on. I want you all to be able to turn back to that. Remember, God is in charge of your life now. He's the one who promotes you and not men. That's why you don't ever have to really worry about what kind of job you're at or where you're at. It's God that what's important, are you pleasing God? Are you doing what He wants you to be doing? That's what's important, see? Okay, so the priorities are, number one, soul winning. This is every Christian's first call, whenever opportunities allow. Second, vocation. That is your call in the body of Christ. What has He called you to do? Again, 90% of the Christians don't know because they won't pray the price. And I said that correctly. Pray the price to find out. They won't do it. It takes time with the Holy Ghost. Okay, and then three is your occupation. And that's what you do in the world normally that puts bread on your table. Now, he may call Dr. George as occupation to be a doctor. That doesn't affect at all his first and second call. His first call, to win souls. I don't know if he really knows what his vocation in the kingdom is. Prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or any of those. Probably right now he would say helps. Okay? See, I happen to know what mine is. I'm a teacher. You know, it's pretty obvious, okay? Teacher with exhortation. There's also a gift called an exhorter. And mine's kind of a combination of the two. Okay? But you find that out by praying much in the Holy Ghost. Sue, right now, part of hers is exhortation, but a big part of it is comfort. He that gives comfort. And part of it is the simplicity of giving. She loves to give. And she doesn't do it to take credit. It's just what makes her alive. It's just what pushes her buttons. It's what she loves to do. You know? She'd rather give than anything. Hallelujah. Okay. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said that as long as you put your priorities in this order, by seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you will never have to give even a moment's thought as to how your needs will be met. That is God's responsibility and His alone. Can I get a big amen to that?
Amen.
Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And boy, He really meant that. But we keep trying to take God's job ourself. Rather than have a God, we keep trying to be a God, and none of us are able. I don't know about you guys, I'm tired of being God. You know what I mean? Little G, you know what I mean by that? I'm tired of being my own Lord. I made a real mess of it.
Yeah.
You know? I made a real mess of it. I'm through with that. I don't want no more of that. I want Jesus to be Lord, period. I want to be doing what He wants me to do. I want to say what He wants me to say. I want to be what He wants me to be. And that's all I really care about. That's all I want to hear when I get there is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's all I want to hear. And if He decides He wants to pay, you know, and if He has decided, which He has, to pay the bills for us, that's just fine with me. Now, if He says, and sometimes what He says doesn't make sense to your head. Again, those of you that haven't all heard the testimony, when He told us to come do this, and I know it's scriptural to take up offerings and all of that. I know that's scriptural, but you got to do what God tells you. What He told us was, don't take up any offerings. Buy all the tapes, give them away free. If you mail them out, which I guess He knew we were going to, pay the postage, buy all of the envelopes and all that stuff. and don't even put in return envelopes. Now, does that sound like any way to run a ministry to you?
Yeah.
I mean, to my natural mind, no, that does not sound like the way to run a ministry, you know? But bless God that we knew what He said. We set out to do that. He not only have we, this has probably been the easiest year financially for us that I can remember once I got really obedient to do what He told me to do. Plus, as a bonus, He got us out of debt. Then, He keeps putting this new stuff on us. Microwaves, the couch you guys are sitting on. For those of you, I don't know if everybody knows or not, what, last week I prayed for a laser printer at 7 in the morning, and at 2 in the afternoon, a man walked in with one. How's that for fast? And then, one time, you know, He sent us that Xerox machine, and I never even asked for that. That's one of those overtaking blessings, you know. Those blessings sneaking up behind you and overtaking you, see. But it has so much to do with being in your call. Oh, okay. Let me go ahead and tell you about this one. I almost hesitate sometimes to tell you some of this stuff. On the one hand, we want to exhort you and encourage you. On the other hand, I don't want it to get like, well, God, He never does that for me. You know, Sunday morning while Sue and I were at church, just as plain as you're hearing my voice right now, I heard the Lord say, after church, take now Randy and Tammy and Tina and Lacey and Johnna out to eat over at First. At that precise moment, we could have done it, but we probably would have had to put it on a charge card. You know, we had a little money, but I don't know if we had enough to cover that. Before that service was over. But, you know, he told me, I knew what He said. I knew that's what He said. So, yeah, on the inside of me, I'm saying, well, fine, Lord, I'll do it. You know, You pay the bills around here anyway. It's not my job. Before that service was over, somebody slipped $50 cash into Sue's purse. Okay? So we went to eat. I'm going to let you tell your part in a minute. And we went to eat, and it came to $41.80. So, we had money left over. And then I'm going to let you tell the part about what you had said the night before.
Okay. Because of the way that our finances have been, the food at our house has been real slim. You know, beans, hamburger meat. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Randy the night before, I wish somebody would take us out to eat. I want some good food.
Hallelujah. And I watched.
He cares about that.
That's right. And see, Randy, I watched. He had steak and fish. I mean, they did good. They ate, you know. Well, we thought that was cool, see, you know. But see, this whole thing, it has to do with obedience in little things, even. Like, I want you to take so-and-so out to eat, you know. Later on that evening, about 8:30, 8:35, we got a phone call. And this lady says, could you guys come by the house for just a little bit? Said, I've got something for you. But the way she put it, I thought she meant like a book or a prophecy or something. You know, I didn't know what it was. I said, well, sure, we can come over. I said, we're waiting on Donna Pixley right now. Donna's coming over to pick up some tapes and some printed materials, but as soon as she leaves, we'll get over. By the time we got over there, it had to be after 9:30. It's getting pretty late, you know. And we're just, you know, she had coffee, and we're talking and visiting and everything. To make a long story short, when we left there and come home, she had written us a $250 check for the ministry.
Amen.
And a $1,000 check for a vacation.
Whoa.
And said not to be used for anything else either, and I don't want a receipt on it. This is just personal to you. My God, say with me, my God
shall supply
all my need, vacation need,
whatever I need,
according to His riches and glory, by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. But it's obedience in even little things. Take so-and-so to lunch. Now, don't be going, I can't afford it. Who pays the bills at your house? I used to think I did. That's what I mean. I'm tired of being Lord. I wasn't any good at it, was I, baby?
No!
Yes, ma'am. Yes, go ahead and tell about your refrigerator.
Last Sunday night...
This is my beloved daughter, Angie.
Last Sunday night, I prayed for us to have a new refrigerator, because ever since... I've lived in my own house, and I've had really bad refrigerators. I've never lasted right or anything. Anyway, I just presented before the Lord Sunday night, and then all week I was thanking Him. And then by Friday, I had a new refrigerator paid for, and everything.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody called and says, we'd like to buy your refrigerator.
I didn't tell this person about it or anything, and they just bought it for me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It works. This is His plan from the beginning. He never intended, just like we don't send an ambassador to another country from the United States and expect him to pay his own way, God does not intend for us to be His ambassadors here and us pay our own way. Neither does He expect you to be your own Lord. Neither does He expect you to know how to lead and guide yourself. That's why He sent the Holy Ghost. His main problem is He can't get us to talk to the Holy Ghost. And I mean praying in other tongues more than anything else. Where the Holy Ghost can really get spirit to spirit with the part of you that's born again and Him who is all truth and will lead you and guide you into all the truth. That's God's biggest problem with His ambassadors. The Holy Spirit's going to... I'll pick on Sandra. Holy Spirit's going to Sandra. And I'm just going to pick something, okay? Holy Spirit's going to Sandra. I want you to start buying silver dollars and putting them in safety deposit boxes. Okay? And Sandra goes, that's nuts. That must be something I ate for breakfast. I can't... Buying silver dollars? Yeah, every time you get paid, take so much of your money and set it aside and buy real silver dollars. Now, not these current ones, but silver dollars that have silver in them. Buy whatever you can, even if it's only one. But start buying those and putting them in a safety deposit box. Now, she might do that for 2 or 3 years and not understand why God would have her do such a thing.
Or longer.
But then later on, maybe 5 years, 10 years down the road, silver, the price of silver on the market jumps tenfold. And whereas she thought she had a few thousand dollars in that safety deposit box, now she's got 10 times that, you see. And then God would have some reason for that, you know, for either your needs or for something for the kingdom. The whole point is to whatever He says to you, do it. But most people don't ever spend enough time with Him to hear Him say anything to them. Let's look at this first handout here again. I'm just going to look at... Okay, our job is to serve Him, not ourselves. See, when He would have sent Brandon, and that going back to that vision. Now, when He sent Brandon back, He says, now, Brandon, you do understand that it's the Father's kingdom and it's the Father's power. Brandon, don't be out trying to build your own kingdom. Now, if you do that, all bets are off. You cut yourself off from our supply, from heaven's supply. You cut yourself off from the leadership of the Spirit. Now, don't be building your own kingdom. You're to serve in His kingdom. So the Lord would go, now, Brandon, this is a test. Whose kingdom is it?
Jesus.
It's yours. Okay. Yes. It's our Father's kingdom. Jesus is Lord over it, and we serve under Him. Okay? You got it? But if you start saying, I'm going to go off and build my own kingdom, which lots of preachers and lots of everybody does. Lots of people do that. Well, I'm not going to go. You start praying a whole lot in the Holy Ghost, and God says, well, what I really want you to be doing is I want you to be taking little, you know, these drug-addicted kids into your house and start raising them up and getting them off of dope. And you go, I ain't bringing no drug-addicted kids into my house. And God says, well, that's what I called you to do, and my gifts and calling are without repentance. I'm not going to change my mind either. Now, whose kingdom is it? But I don't want to bring those kind of people into my house. God says, that's what I called you to do. Now, what do you do in a situation like that? You get on your face and you pray until the desires of your heart change. You see? That's what you do. You get on your face or you humble yourself and you pray in other tongues. Let the Holy Ghost start adjusting on the inside of you, because really at your core, that is what you want to do. Because God's calling and who you are will match up. It's this big thing here in the middle, your brain that's giving you the trouble. Your emotions, your soul, the mental parts. You give that over to God, to the Holy Ghost, especially through the avenue of praying in other tongues, and He starts going in there and rearranging all of that. And after a while, you come out, the number one thing I want to do on earth is get kids, young people, off of dope.
Gary, do you think people get so wrapped up in their flesh that their thinking is just distorted as far as what God wants them to do?
They become exactly like the Gentiles. The 99% of all Christians, you can't tell a lick of difference between them and the unbelievers. All it seems like, based on their actions, all they think about is from the birth to the grave. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Where are we going to live? How are we going to survive? They're acting like what Paul describes in Ephesians, talking about unbelievers who were strangers to the covenant of promise, without hope, no, without God, and without hope in the world. Most believers act like that. They act like they have no covenant with God. Now, whose fault is that really? Preachers? More than anybody else? Preachers not preaching the truth? Preachers not preaching, God will provide for you. God will heal you. God intended for us to grow up knowing this stuff from the time we were little children. Not have to be 50 years old and have to learn it. Dear God, you got a lot of unprogramming to do by then. You know what I'm saying? Or even 25. Right, Angie?
I think that it's not only the preachers, but it's like the Christians who are not doers of the world.
The word.
Of the word.
Well, we got a lot of Christians.
Of the
yeah,
word,
yeah.
Of the word.
Right.
But they're not doers of the word, and then in their backslidden state or whatever,
yeah.
they start taking on the thought. Of
sure. See, really, that's what Mark chapter 4 is about. When Jesus said, a lot of people hear this. I mean, you guys like this. You're hearing this. It's going in, right? Hey, yes, we receive this. Hallelujah. Receive it with joy. See, but now tomorrow, remember what I said? The problem with daily life, it's so daily. Now tonight it's, yes, ambassador for the kingdom. Glory to God. My God supplies all of my needs. But now tomorrow, the circumstances, yeah, but where are you going to be on the 15th?
Right.
You know, how are you going to pay your bill? How are you going to do this? Like I said to Louis last week, look at the flat tire. Look at the flat tire. You know, what Jesus said, the persecutions and afflictions and the cares of this world choke the word that you heard on Thursday night. That's the part's in there, isn't it, that you heard on Thursday night? You see? Yeah, that's why Christians become just like unbelievers. Because they get their eyes off of the word they heard onto the circumstances that the devil sends. And if they start living by that, they're just like the unbelievers.
Sometimes I can feel it choking me. You know what I mean? I can feel it like I get up and all the circumstances are looking me in the face and it's like everything
that's
in
right.
me. It takes everything in me
right.
to get up and to confess the word and
that's
to pray
right.
because they're all just right there. Sometimes you just almost get into your own little world where you just shut everything out just so you can focus on God because everything is just
you have to. You
yeah.
have to. In your spirit, man, you need to go back where Jesus is. In fact, we're going to talk about that in a minute. It's called setting your affections on things that are above, not things that are on the world. And I didn't mean to bypass you all ago.
That's okay. That's what I was going to ask.
Okay.
When you first get born again, I don't know about most people in here, but I mean, there's this overwhelming knowing that your name's in the book of life. You almost feel like you're there.
Yeah.
You know, and how do you get that? Either it's spiritual blindness or we get clouding of our eyes.
Persecutions, afflictions, and the cares of this world come to everybody, and pretty soon. And most people are not instructed on how to get victory. So pretty soon the circumstances beat them back down and they just start leading a life like everybody else.
Is that ever difficult for you, Gary?
Oh, God. I was telling Shirley today, this has been the hardest thing in my life to learn how to live like this. It is a different world. It is a different kingdom. It's a different God. It's a different life. And it's been the most difficult thing in my life to live like this. But it's the most wonderful thing. And I have not near arrived. You people have not seen nothing yet. I'm telling you, my God is not near done with me. Is he, baby?
No.
You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. You just keep watching because I'm finding out more. Like I told y'all, which I thought for a while tonight I was going to have to do if none but one showed up. Pat was here about 30 minutes for anybody else. We're going, we may be it. You know, I'll preach it just the same because I learned too much. If I wasn't doing this and Gerald and us praying and talking at the restaurant and coming home, do you think God would have showed me that vision? Not likely. You know, that's how praying about you guys and praying to Him about what He wants me to do, that's part of how I find this stuff out. And every time I find something out, glory to God, there's one more step. Hallelujah. We got to get to these next pages. Okay, hang on. Let me see it here. Our job is to serve Him, not ourselves. Now, y'all read these pages good when you go back home because there's stuff on these pages that's not on the tape. And there's stuff on the tape tonight that's not on these pages, okay? But I want you to look at this. Remember that the Apostle John said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." But now get this. The prosperous soul has its attention always focused on the kingdom of God. See, that's where the prosperous soul is. Is it prosperous for your soul to be going around right now? I mean, you know, for the benefit of the tape, right now, Randy and Tammy need to they're believing God for a place to live by the 15th of the month. And right now, they don't know where that is. So now, is your soul prospering when you go around, what are we going to do? Oh, God, what are we going to do? If we don't find a place. But so the devil, he comes and helps, doesn't he? Sends you visions. We'll be sleeping in the car, in the van, out on the curb, with our furniture stacked up in somebody's yard. You know, so that, you know, he gives you lots of help, doesn't he? You know, now is that a prosperous soul to go around thinking, what are we going to do? I mean, we don't know where the money's coming from. We don't even have money for deposits.
Well,
you know, whatever.
That on the 15th, if there's not a house, that we'll have all our stuff out at the curb, and I'm still going to be praising God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. But there will be a house.
I know there will, but
that's right. Amen. But now, or is a prosperous soul in that situation? A prosperous soul, yeah, isn't that good? A prosperous soul in that situation is, my God, I worship you. You are the God that supplies all of my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord, I never have to take thought for where we're going to, what we're going to eat, where we're going to live, what we're going to wear, what we're going to drink. Oh, Lord, I seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, Lord, and all these things are added unto me. I don't have to be like the Gentiles and try and provide for myself my whole life because my God supplies all of my needs. Now, is that a prosperous soul? That's our prosperous soul. And it says that guy there, the prosperous soul, is the one that he prospers and stays in health. You get into that worry stuff all the time, it'll make you sick. Mentally, physically, I mean, people commit suicide. They get so depressed living in that other junk.
I've been there, no more.
Been there, done that, don't want to do it no more. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay, now, this last verse here, yeah, this is what I was talking about, see? We are literally ambassadors from heaven sent here as agents through which the kingdom of God can be made manifest on the earth. We are in the world, but not of the world. Our citizenship is from heaven. And in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are, I told you. Now, see, you didn't physically have to die, but spiritually you did. You're as dead as you could be. But you got born again into this new kingdom, and God sent you here as an ambassador. I mean, you're really, you got a street address in heaven, Angie. Do you understand that? Might be, for all I know, 313 Angel Way. I don't know. You've already got a mansion there. It's that real. I mean, Angie's house, it says, you know? And it's every, I mean, you live there, really. You've just been sent here on temporary assignment from the kingdom of God as an ambassador with full assurance of God Himself, who swore by Himself, because He could swear no higher, surely I will bless thee. Did I say something wrong?
No.
Okay. Surely I will bless thee, just like He told Abraham. See, I'll take care of you. You're my ambassador. I don't expect you to provide for yourself. No, no. I'll take care of you. And it's all been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good stuff? Your address, I like that, 313 Angel Way. That's where Angie lives. Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at the next page here real quick. And a big part of this, you can read later. Now, there's those two verses, and I put them together on purpose because they're both out of the same chapter, and he's talking about the same thing. See, the last half of Matthew 6:13, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Then Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom," same kingdom of God, "and His righteousness, and all these things," what things? The same things that the Gentiles spend their whole life seeking, again, longer cars and VCRs, whatever it is. Okay. And what?
And guitars.
And guitar, yeah. Longer cars, VCRs, and guitars. Okay. All these things shall be added unto you. Don't spend your life, Jesus saying. Don't spend your whole life worrying about things. I didn't send you here to worry about things. You're not an ambassador from heaven to come down here and worry like the unbelievers. Don't you know you have a covenant with God? All will not He who sent his own son, will he not with him also freely give you all things, Tam? I mean, if you would it make sense to you for the most prosperous king there is to choose you as an ambassador, send you on an assignment, you pray back to him or send a message back to him saying, I need such and such, and then him say to you, well, you can't have that. But I need it in order to do the work that you called me to do. Well, I'm not answering that prayer. That's stupid. That's ignorance before daylight, as Kenneth Hagin would say. No, if a king sends an ambassador to a foreign country to accomplish a certain job, and that ambassador writes back to the king and says, well, in order to do what you told me, I need a car, and I need a typewriter, and I need a computer to do what you told me, please send forthwith, what would the king do? And he'd be sending it, wouldn't he? He's not going to cut off his nose to spite his face. That's what he sent you there for, is to get that job done. Well, anything you need, you ask him. Now, does that sound like anything to you guys? What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. It's right there. This whole thing works by faith. Okay? Better get to going here. Oh, let's see. I'm going to skip over a whole lot of this. So I just want to be certain to please him. Now, go come down to the, okay, one, two, three, fourth paragraph where it says, Jesus said, now I'm about to tell you all something I have never heard anybody say, and I may get a lot of flack over this, but I'm telling you, I know what the Holy Ghost said. And I'm going to tell you what the Holy Ghost said. And I got big shoulders. I can take the heat. Jesus said we are also to seek His righteousness. Did you notice that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What does that mean to the born-again believer who has already been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Are we to forever be seeking something that the Bible says that we already have? How many of you guys in here are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? So does that mean be seeking some kind of righteousness that you already have? No. What Jesus is saying is this. Your job is to always be seeking first doing your part in the kingdom of God. And to understand that God will always be doing His part in fulfilling all of your needs. That is His righteousness. You will never prove yourself to be more righteous than Him. Now look at me for a minute. That's like going, God, I did what you told me to do, and you're not keeping your end of the bargain. Do you think that's ever going to happen? You think you're going to show yourself more righteous than Him? He tells you to do something, you do your part, and then He doesn't do His part? What do you think? Not ever. I'm almost afraid to even talk like that, even kidding, you know? Not ever. Now watch. When I asked the Lord exactly what that meant, the Holy Spirit gave me His own definition of His righteousness. And y'all might as well know this. He gave me that definition in 1986, and I've been living on it ever since. 1986. And I understand it better today than I did then. My righteousness means that all power and all responsibility for accomplishment in your life is based on my action, the Lord's action, and not your own, Gary. When it comes right down to it, remember Jesus didn't just say, thine is the kingdom.
Would you read that definition again?
Yes. The Holy Spirit gave me His definition of His righteousness. When He says, my righteousness, the Lord talking, He says, my righteousness means that all power and all responsibility for accomplishment in your life is based on my action and not your own. Now, look, go back to the first statement. Thine is the kingdom and thine is the power. George, can you really heal the sick? I can't either. Can you open the blind eyes? Can't either. You know, we understand it when it comes to those kind of things. But see, most of us think we can be our own provider. And He never intended that. Thine is the power. Your provision really rests on His action. if he doesn't multiply your seed sown, you're really pretty much left on your own then, right? See? But most of us concentrate more on how can I make a buck. To us, that's so much more important than walking around thanking God for His anointing of increase, like you have been so diligently taught at Thursday night Bible study. And confessing the Word over your seed. That's what activates His power. No, it's easier to go work overtime. The flesh likes that better because you're doing something. But this kingdom is not based on your power. Thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power. Now, nobody in this room had a harder time than me. God had hell getting me to walk the floor and confess the Word again, didn't He, baby?
Amen.
She thought I was never going to obey Him. I thought I was never going to obey Him. And it was a long time, and I've taught this before on previous tapes, it was a long time before I even really knew what the problem was. I understood to do it. I understood that it would work. But when it came right down to doing it, it was like I was wrestling a 10-ton bear to get my flesh to do that. And then finally I figured out what it was. My flesh wanted to remain God. My flesh did not want to humble itself under the mighty hand of God that He might exalt me in due season. My flesh wanted to be the revealer of truth to me rather than me humble myself under His hand, confess His Word, and let Him exalt me. The flesh, it fights for survival. It wants to be your God. It wants to be your revealer of truth. God says, call those things that be not as though they were. What does the flesh say? What does the world say? Tell it like it is. I'll believe it when I see it. You know? It's totally, the things of God are totally opposite to the things of the flesh. That's why it's tough to do it. Your flesh does not want to die. It understands every time that you do that. Every morning that you're obedient to get up. I was talking with Pat before. Every day that you get that little white book out and start making those confessions, your flesh knows every time you do that, it's losing a little more hold over your life. A little more power over your life. And it's going, you'd be better off to, you need to make breakfast, you need to do the laundry, you need to do something. Something. Listen to tapes. Anything. The two things it fights the most is praying in other tongues and confessing the Word. Praying in other tongues, because that's where you get the mind of Christ for your individual life. And confessing the Word, because that activates the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. God works in the earth one way, not two. He works through words.
He's the high priest of our
confession. High priest of your confession, not your thoughts. But most people think it's your thoughts. And the Bible never says He's the high priest of your thoughts. His anointing is to bring your words to come to pass, not your thoughts. Not your good intentions. Not your well-meaning desires. Words, everyone say, words.
Words.
He brings words to come to pass. Speaking words.
Speaking words
activates His anointing.
Nothing else does.
Hallelujah. You thought Norval Hayes showed up, didn't you? Glory to God. Hallelujah.
He did.
That's glory to God. Anyway, He did. That's the way I was hearing it, so that's the way I said it. Hallelujah. Okay, look at the bold letters in the middle of that paragraph. When you give yourself completely over to fulfilling your role in His kingdom, He takes responsibility for your life. That's all. You don't have to worry about your stuff anymore. He takes care of your stuff. I thank God for the day. It's finally started dawning on me. I don't have to pay the bills around here. Now, see, that same thing applies. Would apply if He still had me in the concrete business. Thank God I'm not. But yeah, I think it'd be totally different today. You know, starting to understand. It's not really my responsibility. I mean, I am working for Him. What the profitability of the company, it's His job to lead me and guide me. As long as I pray and do my part, He'll do His part. I'm not going to show myself to be more righteous than Him. You see what I'm saying? So on your jobs, whatever it is you're doing, understand, He takes responsibility for your life if you'll let Him. He'll not only fix, you know, get that one car taken care of to where the transmission's okay and all, He'll send you a better one if you need it. Send you an extra one if you need it. Whatever you need to accomplish what He's called you to do, it'd be foolish for Him not to give it to you. Can that make, you know, make sense? All right. Is everybody okay here? Oh, brother. We vacuumed the couch, too. Oh, he was holding the cat. Oh, boy. Okay. We do our part by humbling ourselves to His will and seeking first of all in every decision to be led by the Spirit of God. And the Father does His part by providing everything you could possibly need to accomplish His plan for your life. Now, watch this. If you will believe it. All of this works by grace through faith. Worry is the opposite of faith. It violates grace. You can't worry and expect this to work. It won't happen. It won't happen. Okay, now we're getting into the action part. Some of this is going to be very familiar. Spend time praising and worshiping the Lord for the privilege of serving in His kingdom. Gerald, you glad you're serving in His kingdom? Amen. Boy, I thank God for that. I've served the devil long enough. Item 2, pray much in the Holy Spirit to allow Him to be begin revealing what your role in the kingdom is. How are you ever going to find out if you don't start? You're not going to ever find out. 3, acknowledge the Lord, like Gerald said, in every decision and trust Him to direct your paths. He will do it. 4, learn to replace, that's what the next page is about, learn to replace worry with faith. Now, here's worry. Here's what worry says all the time. What worry really is. I do not trust that my Heavenly Father will keep His part of the bargain. Really, what you're saying is worse than that. I don't think He's righteous. Boy, that made it get quiet in here. See, it gets worse than that. Really, what you're saying is God's a liar. That's what worry is. All that time that you spend worrying, you're calling every promise in the covenant that Jesus shed His blood for you to have a lie. See, that's hard. That's the truth anyway. That's why it's so deadly. That's why it violates grace. You can't live with that and expect the kingdom principles to work for you. Now, the world system, however old you are right now, has worked diligently to make a champion warrior out of you. Okay? Some of us are highly developed in worry. Okay? Some more than others. If it's not possible, though, to be transformed, we would almost have a case against God because He says, don't do it. Again, those things I listed before there, praying much in the Holy Ghost, spending time worshiping the Lord and all of those things, causes transformation from worry to faith. You start trusting Him. All right, let's keep going here. Learn to replace worry with faith. Worry says, I do not trust that my Heavenly Father will keep His part of the bargain. I'm not convinced that He will provide for me. That's what worry really is. Item 5, make this scripture a part of you. Practice doing it until it becomes your normal way of life. Philippians 4:6. Don't worry. This is from the Living Bible. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. Oh, yeah. And don't forget to thank Him for His answers. Next page. Now, here's a little form, and some of you will probably have to Xerox 5 of these to list everything. or add notebook paper behind it. I reprinted that scripture up above, and the next verse. Let me read it again. This is Philippians 4:6-7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Now, that's a prosperous soul. You see, that's the prosperous soul. Now, practice exchanging worry for faith. Now, on the lines below, this ought to be, everyone in here should be able to list whatever you're worrying about. Okay? On the lines below, write down everything that you are currently, quote, worried about. I could put concerned. I mean, for those of us who have become accomplished at not confessing the wrong thing, I don't worry, you know. But anything that's kind of troubling you. Anything that is of concern. What are some of those religious terms we use?
I don't know religion.
Good.
There you go.
But you know people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes,
everything that the devil is lying to you about would be another way of putting it. But whatever you, okay, in plain English, if you're worried about it, write it down. Okay? And just put it down then. Because what does the Scripture say? It says, don't, and then once you have them listed, now, don't leave out part two. It says, don't worry. What does it say? Instead, pray. So first list the worries, and then pray. Turn it over to God. In fact, I wrote that here. Practice stopping the habit of worrying about them by praying and turn them over to God once and for all. Now, I'm telling you right now, you think the devil's going to quit when you do that?
No.
No, worry's going to try and come back. Now, watch. Every time worry starts attacking you again, don't forget to thank God for His answers. That's how you defeat it. Kenneth Hagin talked, if you've heard his testimony, he said he had a terrible time quitting worrying. He would turn them over to God. God, this is your problem. I give it to you. I don't have it anymore. And he'd get in bed, and he couldn't go to sleep because it would start coming on him again. Worry, worry, worry. He'd literally get out of the bed, say, nope, devil, I ain't taking it back. God, I gave this to you. I know you heard me when I prayed. I believe I received when I prayed, and I'm just thanking you that you're working it out. Or you could say, I'm thanking you for your answers. And he had to do that time and again, you know, in the early days. Because worry kept trying, he catch himself, start worrying again. Get out of bed, do it again. Get out of bed, do it again. I had to go through that. There's still times when something new comes that I've never faced before. To get victory over worry, I have to do that. A while, until I get victory over it. And you thank God for His answers. That's called confession. Did He hear you? Did He hear you when you prayed or not? Did He hear you when you prayed?
Yes.
Sure. Does He answer prayer?
Yes.
Sure. Then all you got to do is thank Him that He heard you and answered your prayer. But I can't see it yet. Well, I've got nothing to do with it. It's got nothing to do with it. Can you see the Word? Has the promise changed?
No.
Then you've got it. Hallelujah. See if there's anything else. You will eventually... Okay, this is called faith. That is faith. That's the faith life. You will eventually develop a worry-free lifestyle as you learn to trust Him who cannot lie. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Do y'all like that? Does that help? Okay. Now, literally, if you need to Xerox some of these, now I'll tell you what I would literally do. Literally, I would write down the worries. And, you know, you don't have to do this, but I like to do this. I like to find a promise in the Bible that covers that worry. Okay? I mean, one that just about blanket all of them is Philippians 4:19. You know? But there's other ones. If you got a lost child, I like that one in Isaiah that I read the other day. Even the captives of the mighty will be set free. Even the lawful prey shall be delivered. I will contend with those that contend with thee, and I will save your children. Glory to God. Put that right there. I don't know what to pray. You know? And every time I could go back to that, I'd say, yes, thank you. You are saving my child. You're contending with those that contend with me. The one that God gave me for Sue was Acts 16:31. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now, for me, that helps anchor my soul if I've got a promise to cover the worry. It helps anchor my soul. That helps give me a prosperous soul because I've got His promise. I've got His Word right there. Hallelujah. Questions? Comments?
I have another praise report.
Yes, another praise report. Talk loud.
Okay. The same day that I prayed for the refrigerator, I prayed about a new job. Because I work out in Broken Arrow, and my daughter started kindergarten this year over here in West Tulsa. And I didn't want to be that far from her. And this winter, I didn't want to have to drive that far in all the weather and stuff. And starting next week, they transferred me downtown. Our company's going through some changes, and they transferred me. It's going to be like 5 minutes away from my house now.
Instead of like 30 minutes.
Instead of 30 minutes.
Right.
It's child time child care. It's like right off of Houston.
Yeah. Yeah, downtown. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Same hours, which was important to her. Sure. Here you go. Hallelujah. Anybody else? We have got pies. We have got cookies galore. And if you go away hungry, it's your own fault.